Now, don't forget, there's a text phone number that you can text to put any questions in that you might want answered at the end of this sermon. And so that'll be up there for during the sermon and to you guys at home as well. My family has a deeply affectionate one-liner when one of us is struggling. Suck it up, princess. We picked it up from Commando off The Biggest Loser a few years ago, and it's just stuck. But I've learned something. Apparently there's some times when that shouldn't be the first sentence out of my mouth. If Nicole or one of the kids have had a really bad day, apparently I'm not supposed to say, suck it up, princess. Apparently there are times when sit down and say, oh, so tell me a bit more about your day. Oh, that sounds really hard. But there's also times when it's appropriate to say, suck it up, princess. And in today's passage, did you hear it? Jesus tells us to suck it up. But he is also tender. This is a passage where Jesus specifically speaks to us about money, and he wants to tell us how money can mess up our life. Jesus goes all commando on us, but he does it with compassion. And so that's why the first heading today for the sermon is commando with compassion. Now, this passage, I don't know if you picked it up, it is also explosive. It's like a nuclear bomb goes off in verse 32, but I didn't want to title the second heading for the sermon Atom Bomb. And so I've just simply called it the Father's Good Pleasure. And that's where we're headed in this sermon. Commando with compassion and the Father's Good Pleasure. And just before we get into the passage, a little reminder, this is week two in our sermon on generosity. Last week we defined generosity as an overflowing life. An overflowing life, all of us, like our whole being, overflowing, released to God for others. We were reminded last week that we will struggle to be generous until we experience the generosity of God. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's grace and mercy overflow into our lives. And so until we've experienced that grace and mercy overflowing from God to us, we will struggle to be generous ourselves. And so a life of generosity begins by living with God. And then this week we're going to see that as we receive God's overflowing grace and mercy in our lives, we will be people who live with gratitude. Okay, to our first point for this morning, Jesus speaks as a commando with compassion. I'm going to take us back to the Bible reading, but the passage just before as well. So Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on." Now, as you hear Jesus' response to the sibling asking for a share of the inheritance, you're probably thinking, good on you, Jesus. Glad you told him off. Money really can mess up families, especially when one of the siblings is trying to get more inheritance from the rest of the family. glad you told him off. Squabbling over money is not good. People with money just want more money. Fools, you tell them, Jesus. But in verse 22, did you notice who Jesus is addressing? It's no longer the sibling grappling for more inheritance. It's the crowd of disciples. Don't forget, this was first century. The crowd would have consisted of farmers that were relying on rain to come down just so they could feed themselves and their family, of fishermen relying on a catch of fish just so they could feed the family. This was a crowd that would have lived their lives framed by the anxiety of wondering where food was going to come from. And Jesus turned from addressing a spoiled sibling to a crowd of subsistence farmers and fishermen and said, "Suck it up, princesses. Don't be anxious over what you're going to eat and what you're going to put on." And let's make this real for us. Some in our church family that have either lost work or have reduced incomes because of this global pandemic. Some of us are wondering how deep the financial pain is going to get next year. Our young folk are being smashed by ridiculous rents and house prices. Jesus says, "Do not be anxious." Jesus is all stand and deliver commando. And just when you're about to say, "Yeah, but Jesus, we need to eat and I don't want to walk around in my undies." Have a look at verse 23. "For life is more than food and the body more than clothing." Suck it up. Life is more than food. Life is more than clothing. Come on, Jesus. We need to eat. We need clothes. At least the Apostle Peter said, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, "If we have food and clothing, with that we will be content." Actually, let's go back. Go back to 1 Timothy 6. I know we only looked at this last term. But let's hear it again. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." In 1 Timothy, God reminds us of contentment, which is really important for us in the 21st century. I mean, we're getting smashed all the time with the latest is the greatest. Advertising, advertising, advertising. You need more, you need more. You need to keep this economy going. You need a bigger portfolio. You need more. It's good for us to hear contentment. If I've just got food and just got clothing and godliness, I've got everything. But Jesus takes it explosively higher. Life is more than food and clothing. Make no mistake, there would have been poor people listening to Jesus, people highly anxious about their next meal. And Jesus said, "Do not be anxious. Life is more than food and clothing." And here's the mistake many of us today now make with Jesus' words. We hear Jesus' words to response to food and clothing, not to be anxiety. And so we go, "Okay, I'm not going to be anxious. Don't be anxious." Jesus said, "Don't be anxious. I'm not going to be anxious." And so we take on willpower. "I won't be anxious." Now, whose will is that? That's mine, isn't it? I will not be anxious. This is the picture of like holding yourself up on the chin bar. "I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to drop. I'm not going to drop. I'm not going to drop." But you will. "I'm not going to be anxious. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from. Jesus said, don't be anxious. Okay, so I won't be anxious." Listen, I haven't known this in my 53 years, but there might come a time, even a season, where we seriously wonder where our next meal is going to come from. You might literally be scraping the bottom of the barrel, and your concern is not just for yourself, for your family. So let's keep reading, because Jesus must be saying something more than "suck it up, princess." Have a look. Verse 22. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." Now, these first hearers would have known Jesus was talking about something more than this tent, this physical body. Jesus knows our physical bodies need food and water, but the first hearers would have known Jesus is saying something more than my physical body. Jesus is saying life, my soul, is more than food and clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Notice what Jesus did not say. Jesus feeds the ravens, so Jesus will feed you. No, that's not what he said. God feeds the ravens. How much more worth are you than the ravens? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? This one speaks to me the most. I'm a bit of a control freak. I want to control and make sure everything's going to work out. And so it's like Jesus is speaking to me, "Steve, go get anxious about next year. Get really anxious. Get worked up about what COVID's going to do to the global economy. Is China going to go to war with everyone? Get anxious. Go on, do it, Steve. Get as anxious as you possibly can." And guess what? You didn't add a single second to your life. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Have you ever gone through the bush and just seen the beauty of these flowers that just pop up? They weren't planted. Some of them just pop up for a day and then they're gone. Look at this world that God has made. Look at how beautiful it is. Know that your God made that, and he's got you. Now, this one might sound a little bit like, well, if God clothes the field like that, he's going to clothe you. That seems to be what Jesus is saying, but he doesn't actually tell us when that clothing will happen. He just says he will. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. The world seeks after stuff. The world seeks after money. The world seeks after security in having and accumulating stuff. Don't be like the world. Seek after the kingdom. Jesus is telling us money really messes us up. But when we have it, we want to keep it. When we have it, we think that we're better than other people who don't have it. When we've got money, we think that we're secure and we're significant. Money messes us up. And money messes us up when we don't have it. When we don't have it, we want to get it. We resent those who do have it, or we think they're more superior to us and I could never be like them and they've got their life all together. We chase it, thinking that money will make us secure and significant. Money has a way of messing us up. It has the illusion of promising security and significance. And it's a strong illusion. Everyone chases money. But Jesus says, don't be like everyone. Seek the kingdom. Now, you remember how this passage started off? Don't be anxious about food and clothing. Life is more than food and clothing. And then Jesus finishes this little section, seek God's kingdom. Can you see what's going on here? The big idea is don't be anxious over money. Seek God's kingdom. Hear Jesus' teaching. Do not be anxious. Don't do it. Don't be anxious. But Jesus isn't expecting us to simply exert willpower. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be anxious. Jesus is telling us what to do with our anxiety over where is our next meal going to come from. Don't just focus on that. Seek God's kingdom. Start thinking about God and his kingdom. Don't white knuckle your way out of being anxious. I'm not anxious. I'm not anxious. I'm not anxious. You are. Just ask your family, ask your workmates, ask someone who's close to you. You're grumbling. You're all the time saying, I'm not anxious. Jesus didn't simply tell us, don't be anxious. Jesus said, don't be anxious. Instead, seek God's kingdom. Okay. Are you ready for the nuclear bomb now? You're ready for the explosion. Are you ready to see why seeking God's kingdom is the antidote to being anxious over money? No, okay, I'll sit down. What we're about to hear is mind-blowingly awesome. It changes your life. And to set it up, we need to look at verse 31 again. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Now, is Jesus saying if we seek God's kingdom, these things, these food and clothing, will be added to you? We want Jesus to be saying that after all, because we don't want to go hungry. We don't want to be walking around in our undies. But if Jesus is saying God will give us food and clothing if we just seek God's kingdom, then verse 31 would be going against the grain of everything he's just said in the previous verses. Instead of being anxious about money, now start being anxious about seeking God's kingdom. Am I seeking God's kingdom rightly? Am I doing it deeply enough, truly enough, rightly enough? And then God will give me food and clothing? I'm hungry. I'm just in my undies. I must not be seeking God's kingdom rightly. Jesus is not promising us food and clothing in these verses. He is promising us something infinitely more secure and significant. Jesus is promising us something infinitely more desirable than $1 trillion. Are you ready? Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Boom. Now, did you notice Jesus' shift in language at verse 30? Up until verse 30, Jesus has been referring to God. But then in verse 30, Jesus slipped in your Father. And then in verse 32, Jesus addressed his disciples, little flock. He's tender. And then Jesus reminds his little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look at it. Look at verse 32. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Boom. In Psalm 50, verse 10, we read that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalms were written a couple of thousand years ago to a people and at a time when if you wanted to tell people God owns everything in the whole universe, you'd say things like, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. Today we might say something like, the stars of 1,000 galaxies belong to God. God owns everything. Think about the greatness and the majesty of God. And remember from last week, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has adopted you into his family. His grace and mercy overflow into your life. You are a child of God. God's grace and mercy is flowing into your life. And then this week, Jesus reminds us that we get to call Almighty God Father. Jesus tenderly speaks to us and tells us the Father's good pleasure. The Father is giddy. The Father is happy. The Father has a twinkle in his eye because he is giving you the kingdom. It all makes sense. Jesus is not being a tough nut commando when he says, do not be anxious. Jesus is a compassionate commando. Jesus is telling us, don't be anxious. Life is so much more than food and clothing. We only get a few years on this planet. Maybe it's 100. Just a few, but every single one of God's children spends eternity in the kingdom. Therefore, do not be anxious about what you're going to eat nor about what you're going to wear. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't fixate your worry on this world that is passing. Don't put your hope in money. Don't chase after what the world chases after. You have a Father who owns the stars of 1,000 galaxies. And he's giddy to give you his kingdom. Which means even if we were to face a season of starvation and nakedness, we don't need to worry the way the world worries. We know that when we take our last breath, whether it's from starvation or old age, thirst, nakedness, cancer, car accident, virus, we know that when we take our last breath, the very next thing we will know is indescribable joy and peace and security and significance. Because it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Therefore, don't let money mess up your life. Don't get anxious over money. Instead, listen to Jesus, what he says. Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't be anxious. Know the joy of giving to the poor and building the kingdom and pouring your investing in the kingdom. You know, Q&A normally works like you text in questions and the preacher attempts to give an answer. Well, this week I want to throw out a question and maybe one of you can text in an answer. But what would be even better is in our point groups this week. to be vulnerable with each other and to answer the question, how do we justify our decline in obedience to Jesus over the last 100 years? You know, during the Great Depression last century, if you've been around church for a while, you've heard me say this before. Christians during the Great Depression last century gave 10% of their income to poverty relief and church work. Today, when we're just astronomically more wealthy than the Great Depression, the average is 2 to 3%. How did that happen? Now, here's what won't work. Guilt. Have you noticed how guilt just doesn't work? The pastor said, I've got to start giving more money. That's not going to work. I mean, for a start, most of you won't listen to me on money. You're allowed to laugh at that point, okay? And for those of you that would, guilt lasts about 5 seconds. Have you ever guilted yourself into a diet or an exercise program? How did that go? A week? Here's what will work. The gospel. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Knowing the grace and the mercy and what we are about to inherit frees us up to live with gratitude rather than worry. Knowing what we have and will have frees us up to give to the poor, to give to the kingdom. The world pushes us that we need a better home and garden. The world pushes us that we need a more secure portfolio. And you know what that leads to? Anxiety and worry. Our Father frees us up to see and treasure the glory of his kingdom. Picture it. Walking with him forever. Friends and family that have been converted into the kingdom with God forever. Is that not the best picture ever? The more we treasure God and his kingdom, the more we'll invest in his kingdom. Where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And where our treasure is, where our heart is, we will invest. Fear not, little flock. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, your story is amazing. You are worthy of all our praise, all our honor, all our glory, all of our life. You have saved us and you are bringing us into an amazing eternity. And so we pray that you would help us live out of your overflow so that we could bring you glory by overflowing into others with your gospel, with your grace, with your mercy. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.